We'll be finishing up our study in the Colts. We've got one more Colt to look at, and we're gonna start on that one today. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now we've, I see that. We've got it turned up now. Amen. Okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 will be our text. We've talked about this idea of colts. Now, what's the Bible word for colt? Do you remember? Fable. Right. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And see, Brother Charles, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our Sunday school this morning.
Father God, thank you, Lord, for a book that we can open and believe and put our trust in. Now, Father, we ask that you fill our pastor with the Holy Spirit of God. Help us to be attentive, Lord, and to accept these things as being from the Word of God. And, Lord, for all the little children back there, Father, we pray that you watch over them and put some men, Lord, and help us be good examples to them. We pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. It is important to be a Bible believer. If you are not a Bible believer, especially in these last days, count on it, you will be deceived. Verse 7 of this passage talks about old wives' fables. We know a fable in the Bible, we're talking about a cult. And it says profane and old wives' fables. Profane, meaning unclean. Unclean. Old wives. It's been around a long time, even though it appears as something new. The New Age movement is not new. Been around a long time, just different names, nothing new about it. But it's kind of coming back up, see, in these last days. Old wives' fables, it's a cult. And it's wives' fables. It's effeminate in nature. Amen. And that's what we're going to be looking at here. Now, verse 1 warns you about this cult. When is this cult going to show up, according to verse 1? The Spirit speaketh expressly. Hey, there's no doubt about this. Nothing to guess about here. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Amen. When? In the latter times. Are we there? I believe we're getting there. And I think it's pretty obvious as we look through this study where this thing is going. Now, let me say this right now. This is not talking about Roman Catholicism. A lot of people for years have taught that this passage is talking about Roman Catholicism because verse 3 says, forbidding the marrying, commanding to abstain from meats. And of course, the priests don't get married. and they don't eat meat on Friday, or they only eat fish or whatever. I don't even know what the law is now. I think they changed it again, but whatever it is, whatever makes them happy this week. But listen, that has nothing to do with Roman Catholicism. First of all, that stuff has been going on for years and years and years. Nothing about the latter times there. And secondly, Roman Catholics aren't saved, at least the church teaching isn't. If you're a Roman Catholic that's saved, you're saved in spite of what your church teaches. How could Roman Catholicism depart from the faith? It's not in it. This is talking about Christians, see? In the last days, a cult will show up which will cause many Christians to depart from the faith. You can only depart from the faith if you are a Christian to begin with. And this cult is what I entitle the health and wellness cult. Amen. Now, I said it's important to be a Bible believer. And yet it's amazing to me how many Bible believers, are you with me? I'm not losing you yet, am I? How many Bible believers are falling for all this nonsense here? Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. All right? I'm not trying to get anybody mad at me on purpose. But if you get mad at me because I believe the Bible and you say you do but really don't, it's your fault, it's your problem, it's not mine. Amen? Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every devil a liar. Amen. And you're told where this thing comes from. Look there in verse 1. Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing spirits. Look at a few verses real quick. Mark chapter 13. What does that mean, seducing? Mark 13. Mark chapter 13 and verse 22. Bible warns about a lot of seduction taking place in the last days. If you look with me in Mark chapter 13 and verse 22, Jesus said, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders." Why? "To seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." And you better watch out for them signs and wonders. Going to be a lot of false prophets out there talking about signs and wonders. You know why they're doing it? To seduce you. To mess you up. How do they seduce you? They make you think there's something you need to have that you don't have. Amen? I mean, think about Adam and Eve in that garden. What didn't they have? Huh? You know how the devil got them? He seduced them. He made them think there's something they really needed that they were missing. You could be as gods. You're missing out on this. You need this. It'll make you better. That was the seduction. That's how seduction works. Amen? Instead of being thankful for what you do have, or realizing what it is you do have, or understanding what it is you have in Christ, you need to run off somewhere else to get something that you didn't need in the first place. That's how it works. See? Look over there in 1 John, is it? 1 John chapter 2. I haven't lost you yet, have I? 1 John chapter 2. Let's start in verse 18. 1 John 2:18. "Little children, it is the last time." What's going to happen in the last time? "You've heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby you know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us." Well, some departed from the faith. But those that departed there, they weren't of them to begin with. Amen? "If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Amen? Isn't that so? It's either truth or it's a lie. No lie is of the truth. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. And that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. You also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us. What? Even eternal life. You have that promise from God that you have eternal life. See? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. So what does the devil do? Make you think you don't have it. So that he can seduce you. See? Look at verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning what? Them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Ye need not that any man teach you, but it's the same anointing teacheth you all things in his truth and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him that is coming. Why would we be ashamed? Because we thought we could lose our salvation, and so we were serving Christ with the wrong motive. Amen. That's the context of what all that thing's going on right there. That's what that thing's about. See? You have to know you're saved and have the assurance of that, or you'll get seduced. Revelation chapter 2. What's going to happen in the tribulation? Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Revelation 2:20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, hold wives, effeminate, that woman, Jezebel. Here's a female false prophet, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to, help me out with that next word, seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things, sacrificed unto idols. In the tribulation, a false spirit, an effeminate spirit, is going to go out across this world, and it's going to cause people to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed to idols. You got that? And what we're looking at here in 1 Timothy 4 is a preparation for that time. And that's what's going on. And that's why that thing will infect and affect the church in the last days. Because of that spirit that is driving people to that point. And that spirit that's going to do that is interested in two things. Getting people to fornicate. Did it say commit adultery or fornicate? You fornicate when you're not married. We okay? You fornicate when you're not married. So you know what you do? You prevent people from getting married, and they can just live together. What's been going on the last 20 years? You understand what's going on? See? Why? To cause people to commit fornication, right? And what's the other thing? Eating certain things. And it'll come to the point where it's sacrificed to idols. Amen. And that all that fornication and eating certain things, that thing goes all the way back in the Old Testament to Baal, to Balak and Balaam, and the Moabites coming in there to mess up the children of Israel. And they ended up committing fornication with them. And they ended up sacrificing to their idols and eating that stuff that was sacrificed to idols. Yeah. And it's going to end up with the Jews being eaten. That'll be the meat that they're eating sacrificed to idols. It'll be the flesh of the Jews. For further information on that, read the end of Isaiah chapter 6 sometime. Amen. All right, now, and so we see the seduction that's going to take place. And 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 said they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrine, what's doctrine? It's teaching. And over there in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, number one. Amen? The Bible said over there in 2 Timothy 4, in the last days they would not endure what? Sound doctrine. Why? Instead of obeying and hearing God's doctrines, what are they doing? Going towards the doctrines of men, see, which is what the Pharisees were doing, what Jesus rebuked them about. You command and teach the doctrines of men, and you disallow and don't obey the doctrines of God. See? And where does that thing end up? You go instead of the doctrines of God to the doctrines of men, and then instead of the doctrines of men, doctrines of devils. It's devolution every time, folks, not evolution. Man's always going down unless God comes in to bring him up. That's all you read through that Bible. Man is on a downward spiral unless God comes in revival and lifts man back up. Stay out of church, stay out of your Bible, watch what happens. Oh, yeah. You ain't going up. You're spiraling down the whole time. What are we doing here? What are we doing? We're fighting. We're fighting to keep going up. We're fighting to get closer to God. We're fighting to become more godly. We're fighting to be grow in faith and in our love to the Lord. It's not going to happen naturally just because we're saved. Because the world and the flesh and the devil are all against us, pushing us the other way. Amen. So we need to fight for sound doctrine, earnestly contend for the faith, the Bible says. And what are these devils, these seducing spirits, what are they going to do according to verse 2? Speaking lies. In hypocrisy, speaking lies. Well, that shows just the devil right there, doesn't it? John chapter 8 and verse 44. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, who does? The devil. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar. And the father of it. Father of all lies is the devil. Look in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6. Look in verse 5 for the context. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. You add to his words, that's the doctrines of men, and that thing goes to where? The doctrines of devils. You just, once you start with the lies, you're already on the devil's side, and you're open. You're open for demonic deception, seduction, and believing the teachings of the devil instead of believing the teachings of God, and all the time thinking you're doing right. And all the time thinking you're obeying God and that whole thing. And you'll see that as we get into that. Look over there in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now we're going to get into some stuff. I know it's going to rock your world. It's going to upset the apple cart. It's going to make you look and see things different than what you thought a Bible believing Christian was to look and see things as. But don't let that mess you up. Just say I'm going to believe the Bible no matter what I believed before. That'll help you. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. He that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He's a devil. There it is. That's the devil. He's a liar, and there's no truth in him. That's him. That's how you mark him, spot him every time. All right, look in Titus. Speaking lies in hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And the idea in all that is to attack the conscience. It said in those last days, in the latter times, they'll depart from the faith, and their conscience be seared with a hot iron. Okay. Say, what does that conscience have to do with it? You'll see. We're just trying to lay some groundwork now. It'll all come together later on after you've listened to the CD 12 times. Titus 1 and verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. What happens when your conscience becomes defiled? Then it becomes seared. What is the result of that? Verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. When you attack that conscience, you're going to get in a mess. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. The New Testament has a lot to say about the conscience. Now, if you want to do a study on the conscience in the Old Testament, good luck. Because you won't find one verse about the conscience in the Old Testament. But you find it all over the New Testament. Why do you think that is? We'll look at that later. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat. Asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you, eat. Asking no question for conscience sake. This has to do with what? Eating food, meat, that has been offered to idols. Okay? You see where we're going? You will if you don't. Verse 29, but if any man say to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? I just wanted to kind of give you that just to see a little area of where we're going to be going here. Now, this doctrine of the health and wellness cult that's going to show up in the last days, according to the Bible, not according to me. I'm not making this thing up. We're reading this here in 1 Timothy 4. Okay? I'm just a Bible believer. And a lot of people say they are. Are you? All right, then we're going to have to go by what the Bible says. When did the Bible say this thing was going to happen? I believe it. I'm not that smart. I'm just dumb. And all I can do is believe what the Bible said. Amen. What would happen? There would be a teaching of devils that Christians would be suckered into and seduced into. Are we okay so far? Have I said anything out of line? I mean, let me know if you disagree with something. I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Now, this is the doctrines that will be taught and are being taught and will continue to be taught. Number one, pastors should discourage marriage and remarriage. Number two, God wants you to live longer than 70 or 80 years. Look over there in that reference. Somebody read me that reference over there in the Psalms. Psalm 90, verse 10. Get a man to stand up and read that verse for me. The first one that can find it. Sword drill. Go. Richie?
The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by any reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away.
Amen. According to the Bible, what's the average lifespan of man? It's 70 to 80 years. Right? Not 120, right? Not 150, right? So if somebody comes to you with some solution, and some special vitamins, and some special diet that says, you know, man is really meant to live 120 years, are you going to believe the Bible or that snake oil salesman? Who are you going to believe? Now, here's the problem. You don't want to die. Admit it. You don't think the devil knows that? God wants you to worry about what you eat and don't eat. Fat. Cholesterol. Carbs. Sugar. White. Be afraid. Be very afraid. You think that's God? God wants you to exercise your body on a regular basis. I didn't say it was wrong to exercise. I didn't say that. Did I say it was wrong to diet? No. I'll tell you this much. None of that stuff is spiritual. None of that stuff makes you a better Christian than somebody else. Now watch it. See? When you start applying that stuff towards spirituality, somebody taught you that and it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Okay so far? Amen. You will defile your temple with what you eat and don't eat. How many of you ever heard that? Raise your hand. Interesting. Chapter and verse. Chapter and verse. All right. Don't worry. We're going to get into all this stuff, see. I'll answer your questions more as we get into this. Meat is bad for you. Especially red meat and pork. Nobody here has ever heard that, have you? Hey, let me ask you a question. How many people heard that 50 years ago? Read about a book written 50 years ago. That's what I meant. Huh? Brother Milt, you remember him talking about that 50 years ago? Red meat being bad for you? Yeah? You eat what you had to eat. Amen, brother. How about that? Right. I guess now we're just more blessed. And what do we do with the blessing? All right. And, finally, it is sinful to have body fat. You ever read The Far Side? You know, the cartoon, The Far Side? That cracked me up, some of those. Yeah. They had the one, there's this family going by. You could tell it was like one of those animal park, safari park kind of a things, you know, or Yellowstone or one of those. And there's this family, they're driving by in a car, and they see this sign. And the sign says, don't feed the bears. And then he has a picture of all these bears that are like all skinny, like Ethiopian bears, standing there with plates out. They're just starving to death. And the family's looking at the bears like, I can't feed them. Anyway. All right, now, verse 3. Forbidding. What's the doctrine of devils? What's going to be one of their teachings? Forbidding to marry. Now, y'all coming up on 60-year anniversary, right? How old were you when you got married? You were 21, and how old were you? You don't tell? Okay. A lot younger? 16. You were 16 when you got married? Was that kind of a normal thing back then? Sure. My grandmother was 15 when she got married. See? Huh? What was that? Your grandmother was 14. When she had your daddy. When she get married. Never mind. All right. Okay. All right. Well, they'd be in jail today. Amen. But see, we're changing for the better, aren't we? See, now it's better if you wait until you're about 25, get married. It's just better financially that way. It's just better if you mature a little bit more first and wait. And all that time, you're making those young people full of hormones wait. You know what you're causing? Let's look at a few verses here. There is a reason to forbid marriage according to the Bible. All right, look there in 1 Corinthians 7, 2 Corinthians 6. I mean, there are circumstances where it is scriptural to forbid marriage. Second Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look first in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39. 1 Corinthians 7:39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. What does that mean? Who are you supposed to marry? Another Christian. Christians should marry Christians. That's God's rule on marriage. Right there. See, look in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Amen. You shouldn't be marrying an unbeliever if you're a Christian. Let the unbelievers marry unbelievers, and let the believers marry believers. That's Scripture. Okay? Now, if you'll look with me, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 again. Why is it that Christians should marry? Because I love her. Not a good reason. I mean, that should be part of it. That's not the Christian reason to get married. The Bible says it's better for you to stay single. You can serve God better. But unless you have a gift from God to do that, you need to get married. Okay? Or unless you're a widow over 60 years, I believe the Bible says. See? Otherwise, you need to get married. That's Bible. Now look, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Is she your wife? You can touch her. She's not your wife, get your filthy hands off of her. And keep them off until she's your wife. That's Bible. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. What is the biblical reason for marriage? We can't contain anymore. We got to get married. You read through 1 Corinthians 7, that's it. See? Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Take care of each other physically is what it's talking about. Okay? We're all grown-ups here. We're okay? Verse 4, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. You know those headaches and stuff? I'm too tired, you know. Now listen, I think if a husband loves his wife, he, you can work those things out. Can wait once in a while, it's going to kill you. Amen. But when you start having a headache every night, that's you're sinning. And you're going to cause your husband to sin. And God ain't going to look too kindly to it. You say, does that give him an excuse? No. But you sin first. Verse 4, the wife hath not power of her own body but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time. You both have to agree to it first. Defrauding meaning you're going to be apart from each other. See? When I had to go up to the youth camp, I was apart from my wife for a few days. Amen. So obviously we couldn't physically be together. But the Bible says when you do that, make sure you're in a position where you're not going to get tempted. Amen? And the best thing to do, as he tells you right here in verse 5, is that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. You'll be tempted. And you'll fall if you're not careful. See? Now, that is the reason for Christian marriage. Amen? All right, so the idea is it's because you still have a body, and it still has needs. And if it wasn't for that, you can be everybody's friend. You understand? The thing there is that's something much more romantic. That's something where two become one. And the whole idea in that thing is if God has made you that way, then that's what's going to have to happen. And the best thing you can do as a young man and as a young lady is work it out so as soon as possible. You can get married. Say how soon? Before you end up fornicating. Amen. See? That what God's plan, now this may, I know this is all a surprise to you in the day and age we live in. But God's plan is that you marry each other as a virgin, you kiss, and the time when you kiss your wife, and the time she kisses you is the first time both of you have ever kissed anybody other than mom and dad. That's God's plan. You know why? You'll never have to compare that person with somebody else. Okay? See? It saves a lot of problems. A lot of problems. You avoid completely. And it's the best thing. Now you look at that and say, but what about me? Who cares about you? What about God? Listen, God knows best. See? He knows better than NBC and CBS and ABC and Fox and all the rest of them. Amen. He knows what's best for your kids. You better go by the Bible. You want God to bless you? God bless my kids even though I'm not going by your word. God, I'm doing my best to live your word out in my life and in the life of my family. Please bless my kids. Now, you know what I'm doing? All my kids, they're going to be graduating high school before they're 17. So then they can get a good job going or get an education of some other kind to help them get a better job, whatever, so that by the time they're 18 or 19, they're ready to marry. Worst case scenario, go in the military. Get housing, you'll get taken care of. Amen. Now listen, if you can wait until you're 25, then help yourself. I'm not saying that some people can't do that. But you only know if you can or not. Mm-hmm. Once you start putting yourself in that position, it's not going to be long. Listen, marriage is honorable in all, Hebrews 13, and the bed undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. So, that's why people get married. That's why Christians should get married. If that's the case, then, amen, you need to go by that. This whole idea of age requirements and all that, that's kind of a cultural thing. It's not biblical. There's nothing in the Bible about that. Other than, obviously, they should be at the age where they can, you know, not kid. I'm not talking about that. Don't go crazy on me. But, like y'all said, you know grandparents that were married when they were 15. Then it was acceptable. See? And it's better than fornication, isn't it? Some of you don't think so. And God knows your heart. But you see, the way I see it, who cares? What did God say? Are you a Bible believer or not? Come on. All right. What age were they getting married at in the Bible, do you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I think they should be engaged for 4 or 5 years first. Where'd you get that from? Well, that way we can plan the big wedding. You know. Yeah. Listen, engages when you say, we need to get married. Okay. You know how long the engagement is? However long that husband, that future husband and wife want it to be. It's up to them. Amen. It could be a week. All right. How about Isaac and Rebecca? How long were they engaged? They got married the first time they saw each other. And stayed married all their days. In a lot of places, it's all arranged. I mean, today, in the world today, it's arranged. This is who you're going to marry. See, we got this whole romance. American women just watch too much TV and read too many novels. And you have this idea that, you know, you're waiting for that knight in shining armor to come by and... And then you just get let down anyway when you get married. Yeah. Then you find out how he burps and everything else. Well, we believe that if you've been divorced, then you shouldn't be married. All right, then what are you causing? Well, we believe if you've been divorced, then you need to go back to the wife that you were married to before and marry her again. Well, that would be sinful according to the Old Testament. Huh? Now, all I can ask you to do is start reading your Bible with some of this. We don't have time for all these verses, but it's all in there. And listen, look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is one of the heresies that's been out for about 20 years now, if not longer. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And listen, the problem is you've got just too much stinking divorce going on.
Yeah.
You got too many. And what's causing all that? What's causing all that? Well, they left the church. They left the Bible. What do you think's going to happen? And I'm not getting on anybody here. If you've been divorced, well, go on and live for God. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, that stuff is, you got 50% of marriages ending in divorce, you got a problem. And there's the problem. It's not in the remarriage. You know, that's just a result. That's just a consequence. That's an automatic because of the divorce. Now, look over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. Amen? The husband of one wife. Amen? What does that mean? There's a lot of people today that teach, well, if you've been divorced, now you have two wives. You with me? Now listen, if I was in the middle of a divorce, I shouldn't be pastoring a church. Period. Because that's not blameless. How am I going to be an example to others? But if I had been divorced before I was saved, you know, and then got saved and then met a Christian woman and had lived for God for 15 years, you're saying I wouldn't be qualified to pastor? See? That's what they teach. But here's the problem. A guy that committed murder and got saved and lived right with God for 10 years, he could pastor. A guy that committed adultery, he could pastor. We okay? There's an unpardonable sin in Bible-believing circles today. And here's the problem with that. There's many good men that God has called to the ministry who have not come to the occasion, have not heeded the calling simply because somebody told them, you've been divorced, God can't use you. That's sad. Now think about it. If you've got 50% of the people out there getting divorces and 50 and a certain amount of them obviously are getting saved, you've already cut in half the opportunity for men to be called into the ministry before he even got out the gate. And the devil won. Amen. See? What's all this about? What's all this going to, what's all this leading to? Well, there's the problem. You're gonna create a situation of encouraging fornication, and that's one of the worst sins that you can do in the Bible. Every sin that a man committeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. See? And you're creating an opportunity for that to occur. And this society has pushed it now for years. That's why they pushed the college. That's why they're pushed. They don't have any problem with them kids living like barnyard animals in them dorms. But don't get married when you're young. I mean, that'll ruin your chances for a successful career. It's a 180 out philosophy from Bible. Now you decide which one you want to live. Free country. But that's what's going on. John 4:18. If you look there, that's where Jesus is dealing with that woman at the well. And he's going to point out her sin to her. He says, go call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right, you don't. You've had what? Why didn't he say have? Wait a minute. If you get divorced and you get married, then you have two wives, right? Then why didn't Jesus tell her you have five husbands? Why did he say had? You a Bible believer or not? Now you see that thing? Had means what? You don't. And the one you're with now, you're not married to. See? You're living in open sin. And he dealt with her about that issue, see, before she could get saved. He dealt with her about her sin. Yeah, you've been divorced five times, and now the one you're with, you're not even married to. That's what he told her. See? And the whole idea in all this, these lies and hypocrisy. Well, I'll marry you two once you have grown in your Christian faith. What does that mean? Be as perfect as me. That's what's going on out there, I'm telling you. No, you saved? You saved? You're going to swear before God that you're going to live together and work it out no matter what for the rest of your lives? But see, there's the problem, isn't it? That's the whole problem with all this. It's when people swear, when people make a covenant before God, it means nothing these days. There's the problem in marriage. You get up and say those words in the sight of God, but you don't really mean them. Because if husband and wife really meant those words that they said, marriage will work out fine. We okay? But it takes two to tango. You know that? Husband and wife, for a marriage to work out, both have to want it to work out. And if only one wants it to work out, it's a rat race, man. It's like a dog chasing his tail. You ain't never going to get anywhere. All right. So, and the point of all that is to encourage that fornication. Why? What's going to happen during the tribulation? Fornication. See, the devil's against marriage. You ain't figured that out yet. That's why you got divorce going on. That's why you got all the fornication going on. What is God's system? Marriage. Unless you have a gift not to, then serve God without it. That's fine. See? Nothing wrong with that. But if you don't have the gift to do that, then God says you get married. Amen? I need a better amen than that. I'm doubting some of you. All right, good. All right, can we go on now? Oh, look what time it is. They're going to end up there. That's not a good place to end. All right, turn the page. And there's something else that is going to be taught. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Forbidding to marry, and what else? Commanding to abstain from meats. It's a doctrine. It becomes a teaching. What's the teaching? Don't eat this, or don't eat that, or eat this, or that's the teaching right there. Okay, and so next week, there's where we're going to go. Because that's where you're really seeing this thing take off now. All right? So, Lord willing, you make it out next week. And I'm going to give you some stuff next week now. I'm going to give you some stuff out of the Bible. And you just start looking around and keep your eyes open. I hate to tell you to do this. I was going to say start watching some Christian television, but if you happen to, just keep your eye open. If you happen to listen to Christian radio or happen to be watching some Christian television, just keep your eyes open. Maybe you're flicking through the channels and watch and see how much of that stuff now is going towards nutrition and going towards buy this product for your health. Now, I'm telling you, there's churches now that for the last 10, 20 years have had Christian aerobics. Christian yoga. Bodily exercise. Christian diet. Christian diet. And while you're at it this week before next week, try to find the verses in your Bible on a Christian diet. Hey, I hate to burst your bubble. We'll stop here, but Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? It ain't about what you're putting in your mouth. It's about what's coming out of your heart. We'll look at that more next week. Let's close in prayer. Brother Milton, close us in prayer, please.